Let's take our chorus books this morning. Let's sing number 22. 22 in the chorus book. He giveth more grace. Pages over, number 27. How long has it been? I know who holds tomorrow.
The
Let's have an opening word of prayer. Jason, would you mind leading?
Our Father, we thank you for a beautiful morning you gave us. The sun is shining brightly and it's warm out. We thank you for that. But we thank you even if it was snowing out. And so we thank you for bringing us here safely. We thank you for bringing the Seawolves to us safely. We thank you for their ministry to us and how they're a blessing to us each time they come. And we just pray that you would bless this service this morning, and everything that we say and do would honor and glorify you. And we just pray that it would be a blessing to each one of us, and that we would be a blessing to each other here. And help us to love one another as you've loved the church. And we just pray that you would bless this time. And pray for those who can't be here this morning. Draw them closer to yourself this morning. And help them feel your presence right where they are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, don't really have any special announcements. Yes, Donna.
Wednesday night, I had mentioned Yvonne Wade that
yes.
She was in hospice. She passed away actually Wednesday morning.
Okay. So, all right. So we definitely want to pray for the family. The Waits have been faithful for many, many years. Mrs. Yvonne Waite passed away. Waite, yes. They had determined to have her in hospice care, but either it wasn't needed or it didn't last very long.
She went in on Tuesday.
So she only for a day. Okay. Pray for Brother Waite too, though. His health is not good. So pray for him as well. All right. Don't have any other announcements right now. let's go to number 54. I think this song is appropriate after what we just heard about. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Number 78, Victory in Jesus.
Glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to
Well, while we're still here on this earth, we're still part of the Lord's army. 171.1 71. It is. And like many of the children's songs we sing, there is a lot of great truth in it. Okay. There aren't any birthdays listed on the calendar for this week, so our two children's classes can be dismissed now. While they're being dismissed, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 is where we have been looking at for this last week. We're going to continue with this verse for this week, starting today. Yes. Oh, you know it.
I'm going to give it a shot.
All right. Go right ahead. Do your best.
Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven.
Jesus.
Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Amen. You did great. All right. Sam, go right ahead.
Hebrews 4:14, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession.
Good. All right. Seems like some of you are getting the hang of this pretty well. We might move on to verse 15 next week then. Okay. All right, let's say it together then. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. All right, very good. Brother Seabold, we'll turn it over to you now.
Away so they can't hear me? Oh, okay.
You already have that one, so.
I'm going to go up there if that's okay with you. That's so I can see you better. Really, then you can see me better. That's the reason we got. Is this new?
No.
These steps?
No, they've been here.
They've been here. Oh, my goodness. Amen. It's Sunday morning. I don't want to insult you, but you look better when I was standing down there and it was all blurred than up here. Amen. It's good to be back. I feel at home here, and I'm thrilled about being here, thrilled about what God's doing, what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what God has done. And I thank God for all that He's done in our life, and I thank God for what He's done in your life. And God needs you. God wants you. God has a desire for you. Take your Bible, if you would, turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 18. And verse number 1. I'll read down through verse number 8. Dealing with the concept of praying. When I just drop in here kind of like sporadically, you know, from time to time, and I have a hard time remembering what I may have said last time. And when you get old, you repeat yourself. Any of you ever notice that? Yeah. Grandma, you told me that last time. Grandpa, you told me that. You know, but you have that habit of repeating yourself. So if we do, That's why it's nice talking to the older generation. You all don't remember what I said last time, but God's been good. Continue to pray that God would bless our churches. It's time to pray. We're going to talk about that topic or talk about that subject or talk. Man, always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake, that's Jesus, a parable unto them to this end. I like reading the end of the story. And so he's giving you an idea. Well, this is the reason the parable is written. And it's to this end that it's being recorded in Holy Script. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Heavenly Father, you told us that we ought always to pray. We do that right now. Pray without ceasing. Lord, I pray that you would help us this morning to gain and glean something from your word during this time, and then during the preaching time, then during all the time that you give us till we see your son face to face. Bless again, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1 again, and then I'll go down to verse number 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus is coming again, and as we look on the horizon, there's not a whole lot of Bible-carrying, Bible-believing, God-loving, devil-hating folks around, and we want to see some, and I'm anxious to go to heaven, amen? But, you know, I'm going to heaven, can't wait, going to see Jesus, can't wait. But I think we, as a Christian populace, we're asking God to give us more time. You know somebody that's not saved, and you're praying for them, you've been praying for them, and you're in the mindset that we need to give them some more time. They should make up their mind, they should make that decision to accept Christ, but they haven't. So what do you ask for? You ask for that decision to be made in their lives and to have them to make that decision, but you're asking for more time, and more time, and more time. As we get older, we ask God for more time. More time. Well, God's given us a whole lot of time. I just celebrated, and you're not going to believe this, but 77 years. I stutter when somebody, but anyway, 77 years. And I'm asking God for more time. Do I have anybody marching alongside of me, running alongside of me, walking alongside of me, crawling alongside of me? God, give me a little bit more time. Yeah, I'm ready to go home. But I sure would like to have some more time to serve the Lord, and some more time to serve the Lord, and more time to serve the Lord. The reality of the issue is that that time is going to run out. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're looking forward to that time. But we need to have some time, and we need to redeem the time. We need to be busy about God's business. And I was sitting back there, I'm trying to, and I need your help on this. I was just trying to think of what we can do. I never thought I was going to get old. My motto in school, and when you're around young people, all your life, it's like, you know, I thought, never get old. And so I walked through the school hallway saying, don't ever get old. Don't ever get old. Don't ever get old. And I was stupid enough to think that if I kept saying that, I wouldn't get old. I really, you know, I got to be about 75. I felt real good. And I came in that motorhome, I walked out and twisted my ankle. Well, I said, that's okay. It'll be better real soon. Because when you're 35 or something like that, you get a little bruise, something doesn't last too long. You get to be 77, you get a little bruise, it's there forever. And so we're wanting to be able to serve God, keep going and keep going and keep going. We can't do what we used to do, but we can do some things we never did before. Yeah, sometimes you're confined to inside the house. You can spend more time praying. And so don't get weary in well doing. I want to look back at verse number 1, if you would. And he spake this parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Here's the parable. And he's saying, this is the end of the parable. You read the very beginning. I like that short stories. But man, the whole essence, I don't want to say the whole essence, but the essence of the parable here is that we ought to pray. We ought to pray. So I'm going to turn to, or have you turn to, or will turn to, maybe half a dozen or so Bible verses that deal under what circumstances. We ought to pray under all circumstances, but some of the circumstances for which God would expect us to pray. I drove up here, and I need to pray. The way I drive, I need to pray. Then when I see you on the road, the way you drive, I definitely need to pray. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. I know it's a statement and so forth you've heard for a long, long time, but I want to reacquaint myself with it. I want to reacquaint you with the idea that we ought to pray. Turn your Bibles, if you would. We're going to go through a whole bunch of Bible verses, so don't get tired of turning. Turn, if you would, over to the book of Luke. We're in Luke, right? And turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And he spake this parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Have you ever told somebody you're going to pray for them? And you forgot about it? It kind of faded out. I married a very efficient young lady. She makes up for all my deficiencies. She does. She makes up. She's a very busy girl. She makes up for all my deficiencies. And prayer, we ought to pray. And nobody's grading you on your prayer. You ever hear somebody pray and then it was all over people talking in the church? Boy, that was a beautiful prayer. That was a beautiful prayer. It needs to be a powerful, beautiful, yes, because it's powerful, talking to God from their heart. Men ought always, that's us, men ought always to pray. And if we could leave here today, Mom, with the idea or have the idea generated afresh and anew, then we're going to pray. We're just going to spend more time praying. And looking back over a lifetime, you can count the number of times God's answered your prayers. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Churches go through, you know, like cycles. Praise God. We ought to pray. In my prosperity, well, let's just not wait for prosperity. Well, let's just not wait for trouble. Yeah. Why are you praying? You got all the money in the bank or something like that. You man ought always to pray. We just need to have a constant. Some of you married folks, and you get in your car and you're traveling somewhere about just say 100 miles, 50 miles or something like that, and your wife doesn't say a word to you. What might you ask her? Help me out. What might, if you went, 20 miles, 30 miles, and she hasn't said a word to you?
What's wrong?
What's wrong? Who said that? Good. You're in.
I'm a married man.
Yeah. I was going to say, anyway, you wonder, what did I do wrong? And you're sitting there, I'm driving, I'm sitting there going, run through the day, run through the week. What did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? What did I do? And I wonder if God doesn't have this. What did I do wrong? Nobody's talking to me. And it doesn't need to be something wrong, but there ought to be a communication, is my point. All the time, ought to pray. Here in Matthew chapter 6, I'm just taking parts, so we don't have time to cover everything in totality, but we ought to pray, number one, in private. In private. Men ought always to pray. Somebody would say, well, preacher, Rev, how long do you spend each day praying? And it's in private. It's not like none of your business, but how long do you pray? And is it a time, a total factor of the efficiency of your prayer? Yeah. Well, the longer I pray, the more God's going to hear me. I don't know about that. God is there, and you are different than I am different. Some people can pray very flower, It takes a lot of time. Some people just get right to the point. But we ought to always pray. Now, this is a seasoned group of Christian folks. And when I thought about speaking to this end, I said, there's nothing really new that I can bring you. There's nothing really kind of, but if we can stir the pot, if we can agitate the waters just a little bit, so that you would be on your spiritual toes in praying. God's not done with this place. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God's not done, and right now you are what God has to use. Amen? Now that sounds, you can amen that. You are what, I've prayed all the time, Lord, forgive me for not being more of what you want me to be. But I look around, there are not a lot of people standing in line. How many churches do we know, Mom, without a pastor? There's not a lot of people just saying, well, I can do that. Well, if somebody's not doing it, somebody can do it better than the person that's not doing it. So you can do something for God. And so you can jump in there. But if the whole, you know, pool of potential preachers was way up yonder there, man, you got to be a spiritual giant. But God can use you to do something for him. I don't want to indict anyone. But been a couple of years without a preacher, right?
Three.
I don't know what God has in mind, and this is just off the cuff. But as God, you're in charge. God, you're the one that needs to send us the man that you'd have to be here. And many of us would, and I'm not the man. You know, we're willing to pray that. But we'll conclude with, and I'm not the man, but you send the man. And I think it may have been Sheffy who prayed something to that end. And God kind of like tapped him on the shoulder and said, Sheffy, you're the man. You're the man. You're the man. Don't ever lose sight that God has a place for everyone to do something for him. It's been a grief to my and I traveling to see church doors that once were. Ain't no more. And we need to perpetually build and move and thank God. If the work belongs to God, don't complain. Amen? Oh, but we no. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings? Can I get an amen? I mean, ain't God good? Because undeserving, that's what we are. We ought to thank him, love and praise him a little bit more today, but a whole lot more tomorrow for all that God has done for us. We travel a whole lot on the road, and we pray before we leave. We need to pray when we get home, before we get out of the car. God, thank you for getting us home. Now, we pray. We will not move the motorhome until we pray. We'll jump out of the motorhome and go get a hamburger. We don't go get it, but we'll jump out. You know what I mean? And that's one of the nice things of children. Every once in a while, if you forget to pray, they will say, Daddy, we didn't pray. Oh, no. Daddy, we didn't pray. And I'm not daddy, but I'm saying to us here as a body of believers, we need to pray. We need to pray. And it's kind of like spontaneous prayer. We need to pray in private. We're not advertising our prayer life. Sometimes people go, what do you do and how do you do it and this and that type of stuff. Yeah, you admonish one another and how you can spend more time in prayer, how you can be more efficient in prayer and so forth and so on. But we just need to know that we just need to pray. And point number one, Matthew 6:6, men need to pray in private. Number two, go ahead to Matthew chapter 18. I know I had you in Matthew 6:6. I should read it for you. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. It's a matter between you and God. Pray in public. That's a contradiction here. What I'm saying, you pray in private, but that's what the Word of God indicates there in Matthew 6:6. Over in Matthew 18:20, it simply has the idea of praying in public. Praying in public. Too many of us heard that illustration. I'll probably tell it to you again, but when we're in the restaurant and you're with your boss or something like that, and you got your meal there, and you're not exactly sure you want to pray in public there with the boss, and he's not a Christian man or anything else like that. So you drop your napkin on the floor, and as you're bending over, Lord, bless this food today. Thank you so much for it. Amen. And you're back up. I don't think that's the first time you heard that. I don't think so. And there's a fair amount of populace out there that have heard it and have experienced it and have done it. That's the worst part. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. God's not done, as I said a dozen times, but God's not done with us. God's not done with America. And you are America. And God's not done with you. Amen? Amen. Reacquaint ourselves with the amen. God's not done with you. He's got something, I'm sure, for you and your associates. Pray in public. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Pray in public. How many are public shy? You're very uncomfortable standing in front of people and speaking. They don't need to raise your hand. You're too shy to raise your hand. I got one who's not shy to raise their hand. We are shy for the most part. You have to have a fair degree of self-confidence. And you get too much self-confidence, people could think you're an egotist or something else like that. But we need to pray in public. I've said it behind this pulpit before, but anytime you have a chance to pray sincerely in public, just go ahead and pray. Just open it up and pray. And we ought to always be grateful and be grateful in public for all that is done. Number one, pray in private. Pray in public. I would have prayed, but there were too many people around. No. It's just you and God. You're not putting on a show. You're not putting on a performance. You pray in public. Number three on your little grocery list there, pray in pain. Turn your Bibles, if you would, and I'm going back and forth. But James chapter 5, I wrote these verses down on a piece of paper, so I don't have to be as slow as I would normally be. But James chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, or verse 13 we'll look at. Pray in pain. I'm sure I mentioned it probably before. I'm sure I probably mentioned it. But anyway, I was visiting, and we were talking about pain. And so this big man, about 6'6" or something like that, weighed 200, so who knows how much, but he was big. And we were talking about prayer. And he grabbed my hand, and he said, "There's only two people who know how much this hurts." And I said, "I'm one of them." Because he's squeezing. I mean, he's a big fella, like a football player. He's squeezing and squeezing and squeezing. He said, "This man may know." We met in a grocery store, and I just happened to be walking down the aisle, and he was talking to a lady about, you know, God knows your pain. And he said, and the lady. I said, "I know the pain. Could you mind letting go?" She kept squeezing and squeezing. And so in pain, I asked him, then I asked the Lord silently, "Lord, get me out of here." I always was just passing through the grocery aisle. But when we have pain and the expectation of pain, how many of y'all enjoy going to the dentist? And we're at the stage, we don't go, we send. Special delivery. Put them in a box, plenty of tissue around the inside of it, a little thing so they don't get busted up in the mail. Handle with care. These belong to me. You don't understand that. My wife's going back there. No. No, don't talk about that. Anyway, but when you have pain, how many times have you woken up in the morning saying, "Before I move, Lord, take care of my pain. Take care of my pain." We need to pray when it's kind of difficult. You have that verse, if you would, James chapter 5. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Now, Expectation. If you have a pain, is there an expectation that when you pray, something's going to happen? Or are we efficiency naive, that we're not expecting God to answer that prayer? And many have got aches and pains right now. And when you pray, and pray that God take care of that pain, it's good. Does God answer the same way all the time? Doctors who perform surgery don't always get the same results. And God's expectations, or your expectations of God's expectations of taking care of you, God will take care of you. When you have a pain, go ahead and pray. All right? You still here? I'm doing it. So, preacher, this is kind of like theology 101. Well, this is kind of like where we need to be back to. Can I pre-record it on a little tape? And so the next time I have a headache, I can push headache prayer. And then when I have a backache, I can push that prayer for backache. Why do I need to take my time? Why don't I just kind of remind God? And I woke up yesterday morning. I woke up this morning. So I'm probably going to wake up tomorrow morning. So before I go to bed, I'm going to record the prayer so I can sleep in. But I just roll over and hit the button. Okay? You say, Rev, that's kind of ridiculous. But sometimes our praying is ridiculous. Uh-huh. We didn't get sincere about it. If I was a wealthy man and you knew that I carried $100 bills in my pocket, and I got a couple dozen of them, and I'm just tired, and I said, I'll give them away to the first 20 people that asked me for one, there'd probably be a line over here. God wants to hear from you so he can answer your prayer. Now, God will initiate, but God also will follow. And so he wants to hear you. If you are physically structured and you're capable of doing more, you might want to do a little bargaining with God. I'm not sure, trade-off, but you might want to. God's looking for some folks who, if they are healthy, would do something for him. Uh-huh. Some folks are prematurely ill, and we reflect back over our life. Maybe God's trying to tell me something. Maybe God's trying to open my eyes and say, Rev, there's still something you can do. Number one, pray in pain. Pray in private. Pray in public. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. I hope that echoes through your mind when you put your little head down on the pillow tonight. Pray in pain. Number four on my list, pray when you have a problem. Pray when you have a problem. Psalm 18, verse 6 simply says this, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. In my medical distress, in my financial distress, many people, let me ask you, what are some of the topics that people pray the most for? Would be kind of not, yeah, pray the most for is a simple way to say it. What topics do you think most Christian folks, not you, but all your other Christian friends, what topics do you think they would be praying for the most? Men ought always have illness. Okay, there's no right or wrong answer. Illness.
Salvation for loved ones.
Salvation for the lost. Salvation for loved ones. Amen. So that ought to be always there. Anything? What do you think other people? What do you think you would be praying for? What do we pray for? Yes, sir.
Missionaries.
Missionaries. God's servants. And so there are sufficient areas for us to be praying in. And when there are problems, we ought to be praying. Marriage today. I heard some of you talking about how long you've been married. And I wasn't in clear, good, receptive. You know, I'm listening to your conversation, but there was kind of some static on the line. And some of you have been married for more than a year. And I got into double figures, and then some 20 years, some 30 years, and I may have heard 30. But, you know, there is a potential for problems. And in the midst, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. You read of the Old time saints who are known for their prayer life. And how much or how or where we are we known? Not that you're trained to be known, but would you say you had a prayer life that would be worthy of noting? Some of the old-time saints, their vocabulary far exceeded my wildest dream. You know, if I know 20 of the English words and I use them over and over again, I hope God doesn't get tired. You ever hear somebody, wow, again, that was a beautiful prayer. Well, we're not praying for beauty. We're praying for the power of God to come and manifest in our lives. We need to pray. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. Let me read this verse again. In my distress, Psalm 18:6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard me, my voice, and out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Could we take on not a challenge, not even, I'm kind of coming back and saying it, but could we not pray that God would send in an influx of people to his liking, to his desire, not to our desire? I have a child in our family, a young person in our family, and so forth, and that person is not married. And so you know what you do when a young man or a young lady is not married? They start making up a list of what type of person they're looking for. And you may not have the character traits that God wants for you to find in a mate. Man ought always to pray and not to faint. And so we need to say, God, we're looking for somebody who can teach a Sunday school class. We're looking for somebody who can teach him. Or we're looking for somebody who can, Lord, we're looking for somebody that you want us to have. We've got 25 qualifications that somebody ought to have. Now, I know we derive them from just say the Word of God. I know we derive them from Christian character and so forth. But Lord, send us what you want for us. Amen? Send us God's man. Send us God's people. The door is always open. And we got mine. You know, I think I'd like to have. We had a Christian day school back many moons ago. And you're looking for a teacher. And so you write down all the qualifications. And I have seen over the years that sometimes those qualifications that you thought you wanted, not necessarily what God wanted. So he sent what he thought you ought to have, and they turned out to be the best teachers we ever had. Not that we're, you know. Anyway, we're on number five on the list. Number one, pray in private, pray in public, pray when you have pain. There's many folks, I never went a day without pain. I'm not saying that my own testimony, but there's a lot of folks who live, it seems like, almost every other day with pain. And we need to pray. I think we're at number five. Oh, my. Pray in our perplexities. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You ever come to that place in your life and you say, I don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. Now, sometimes there's preparation along the life's values. The more of God's word that you've hidden in your heart, the better it is for God to influence you making a decision. You ever hear somebody say, God spoke to me about that? Well, one of the reasons they can make that statement in sincerity is that God spoke to them days, weeks, months, years past through the study and acquirement of God's word. Don't wait until you need God to speak to you to allow God to speak to you. Don't keep up. God speaks to you before you have occasion for that particular dilemma. In your perplexities, I knew I put God's phone number down here someplace. I know. Did you bring it with you, guys' phone number? Oh, no, she didn't bring it. I don't know. And so we got a perplexity. You're driving 40 miles an hour and somebody pulls out in front of you. You can't say, wait a minute, wait, slow down. I got to pray. It's a perplexity that you need to be concerned about right then. My suggestion would be to always stay on praying ground. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. And there's not time while that is pulling. No. You just got to say, pray. Or was it, did I use the right word? Just pray. God is looking for you to come to him and say, my total is dependent upon you. Men ought to always pray. We ought to always be in that season. I know over the years when I've had trouble with my leg or anything else like that, you know, physical, pray. And you ever go to bed and you can't get to sleep? And you get to worrying about maybe, you know, you had a cough and you weren't supposed to have a cough, or you got a pain and you weren't supposed to have the pain? And what do? You worry. I can remember just recently being in bed and I couldn't get off to sleep. And I'm worrying. And I said to myself, I said it to myself. My wife didn't say it to me. I said it to myself. You idiot. Why don't you pray? Why don't you just say, Lord, I need you. And then I prayed this prayer. Lord, thank you. And forgive me for falling asleep praying. I wanted God to know that I was confident that he would hear my prayer and give me the peace. I didn't ask him to help me sleep. I just said, Lord, I'm going to sleep. You worry about it. Tired. I'm going to sleep. And off I went. I think God sometimes went waiting for us to say, Lord, I'm tired. I put the problem in your hands. I'll do all that I can do and all that I can do. Solution has not been evident, but Lord, I'm going to put it. And so you say, I'm going to trust you, Lord, but I can't get to sleep. I'm going to trust you, Lord, but I keep tossing and turning. I'm going to put it in your hands, Lord. Honey, you fell asleep while you were praying last night. Well, honey, what did you do? You sat up and worried. Why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He'll be your stay, or however that song goes. How many know that song? Good, we're going to have a trio, quartet. Anybody else, we can make it whatever comes after that. But why worry when you can pray? And somebody needs to hit you upside the head. Yeah? You've been worrying. You better start praying. I still have a couple minutes. Pray in the midst of your perplexities. Have you ever been confused about something? Yeah? My middle granddaughter's getting married, and you know, she's got the perplexities. Yeah, she has that. But she's been brought up in a strong Christian home, and she knows how to pray. And there's two kids, the bride-to-be and the groom-to-be. Nothing seems to faze them. They've been brought up with the idea, why worry when you can pray? Yeah, but they ought to be concerned about where they're going to live and what they're, how much money they're going to make and all that kind. No. Why worry when you can pray? And so you need to be careful as a grandma or grandparent trying to get them to worry. These kids are too nonchalant. They're too casual about it. They don't know that all the problems that they're going to be facing, they're going to have to move and do. And you know what it's like, grandparents? Those kids don't recognize how hard it is. Oh, maybe they do recognize how hard it is, and they met along the way, life's path, the man called Jesus, who solves those problems. And they've been taught by mom and dad, put your faith and confidence in the Lord. Why worry when you can pray? And I wish I could tell some of the interesting experiences that these kids have had. It's a thrill to watch kids that we know and have known and do know who have just put it into practice. Not just preachers' kids, but church folks' kids. You know, they're a little bit concerned. Are they going to get accepted into the college? Are they going to have enough money to graduate from that college? Well, we've taught them to pray that their bicycle tire wouldn't go flat. And they prayed about that. And the bicycle tire didn't go flat. So they said, why do I need to worry about something over here? I'm talking about lack of concern. I'm talking about stupid worry. Worry don't do much. Being concerned helps, but worry doesn't do much. Let me quickly. I said quickly before. In your poverty. Who? Pray in your poverty. Not just for money, but for wisdom. How many think you're a little bit starved for wisdom? We're a little bit starved for money, yeah, but a little bit starved for wisdom. And pray in your poverty. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And then next to that, what is the opposite of poverty? It has to begin with a P now. The opposite of poverty. Prosperity, yes. We need to pray in our prosperity. Lord, it's enough. You can turn off the fountain. It's beginning to flow real strong. Lord, send it over to somebody else. Send it over to somebody else. And we pray, Lord, if you were to send it to me, I'd give it to them. You've seen that illustration. I think it's stood right here when I gave it before. But when you're praying. Uh-huh. Why not? If I only had the money, you know, that's what I'd do. If I only had the money, I'd be supporting another missionary. If I only had the money, I'd be, if I only had the money. None of you ever said that. I'm looking at your straight face. You're doing a good job. If I only had the money, if I only had, I'd help this person. I'd help this family. Sometimes, don't throw it away. You can give it away. Don't throw it away, but you can give it away. There are a fair number, abstract term, there's a fair number of young men who somewhere between birth and 20, 21 years of age have felt the call of God to do something. But nobody came alongside of that individual and said, listen, I want to help you. Well, I'll tell you, a person will say, well, I want to build character in him. I'm not going to help him. I'll let him go out and slave and labor for that. You're not destroying character by helping a person. There are some young people, family members, people you know, they could use some help. They could use some help. And if they didn't need, just think for a minute. If you misread their mindset, you misread, and you say, well, Lord's been speaking to me about giving them a, you know, X amount of dollars. I don't know what that is, but X amount of dollars. And the Lord spoke to you about that, and you gave them the X amount of dollars. Now, if that's a godly young couple, I don't need that. Now I got a problem. I got this money, and I don't need it. What do I do with it? Oh, we'll go to McDonald's. We'll go to Wendy's. No. A godly family is going to say, you remember the missionary? Let's just send it. Well, his budget's been already met. Just send it to him. You know what that missionary is going to do with it? Whatever God wants him to do with it. Whatever God wants him to do. That's a thrill. Just comes in one hand. Oh, that's neat. Now we can send something that we talked about. And it feels good. It doesn't hurt. Amen? If I'm, Lord, you know, I'm just a funnel. I'm just a tube. Just send it through. But I've seen, I believe there's a lot of blockage. It's kind of like hard to get it out. I mean, it's easy to get it, not easy, but it gets in the funnel. Now we've got to get it out. Why worry when you can pray? Man ought always to pray and not to faint. Do we need more missionaries? Amen. Do we need to go to the foreign field to be a missionary? No. When you exit through that back door, you're going into what? The mission field, a place where you can be just a little fanatical, strange, about distributing and talking to people about the Lord this week coming up. Just, you know, somebody will say, you know, why are you talking to me about this? Well, we had a guest preacher in on Sunday, and he suggested that I do this. I wouldn't do it any other reason, but the preacher said, why don't you take a gospel tract and give it to somebody? Would you mind taking it? Please? Pretty please? Oh, you would. Right? So the tracts on the rack are great, but they're greater when they're not on the track. You follow that? That's deep theology. Right? That track rack has already received and accepted the Lord. And now it's time to take that which is there and put it out into the marketplace. Heavenly Father, bless these dear folks. What a privilege it is to be a servant of yours, to serve you in a capacity that I trust you're pleased with. Thank you, what's been done, being done, and Lord, we're in a great expectation of what will be done here for you in this place. Continue to use it and bless it in a mighty way. Our avenues of service, Lord, are diversified. What one can do, somebody else can do, but we all can do something. So help us, Lord. Give us wisdom and discerning your will for our lives at this stage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The older you get, sometimes you can sing with me a song. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. It's not, I'm a little less spiritual. It just hurts a whole lot more. So do the best you can with what you got. Amen. Thank you.